We know very little about the life of Julian of Norwich. We don't know her name, her family, her education. But we do know that Julian lived through three major pandemics. When she was 6 years old, Norwich was visited by the pestilence known as the Black Death for the first time. Julian survived, but within a year, three quarters of the population of Norwich was dead, including likely her parents, by this plague which persisted for 3 years. And then in her 20s, outbreaks of the Black Plague returned not just once, but twice. We have seen vividly this past month how international cities are the most affected during global pandemics. And this is especially true of Norwich at the time, which was an international port that rivaled London. If you think about it, it's amazing that Julian was able to survive all three. Her life was enveloped by a darkness and a misery that we are only now just beginning to understand, a trauma that haunted her entire life. Around her 30th birthday, Julian became deathly sick. Maybe a byproduct of another plague, maybe a different virus, no one knows for sure. But for 3 days and three nights, she lay on her deathbed. And on the fourth night, her health was so bad that a priest was called to perform last rites. No one believed that she would live until the morning. Before the priest left, he placed a crucifix at the foot of the bed, which Julian stared at all night. And over the next 12 hours, she received a series of 15 visions about Jesus crucified. And then when she recovered, she had one final vision, which confirmed to her that these visions were authentic and not delirium. Julian spent the rest of her life reflecting on what happened there on her deathbed, and she ended up writing two books as a way of unpacking it. This morning, I want to introduce you to three of those visions. All three help us see not only the difference that Holy Week makes upon our lives, but also the critical importance it has for us in this confounding post-apocalyptic time. First, while staring at the cross, while dwelling upon the pain and suffering that Jesus experienced, Julian came to realize that the essence of the cross, the essence of God, is loved. Julian lived in a time much like today where people believed many different things about why Jesus died. Some argued that it was an act of divine justice, that God demanded this as a response to human sin. Others argued that God actually did not suffer, but triumphed by tricking and conquering Satan. But when Julian gazed upon Jesus' wounded and broken body on her deathbed, she only saw one thing, love. That God will go to any length to care for us. That God will never be separated from us. Julian says it better than I ever can. Do you want to know what the Lord showed me? Love is what God meant. Who showed you this? Love. What did God show? Love. Why did God show it for you? For love. Hold fast to this and you will know and understand more of the same. And then she continues on. I saw quite certainly in this and in everything that God loved us before God made us, and God's love has never diminished and never shall. Love, 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 and love. That's what Julian saw is at the center of history. Love is God's only intent for this world, period, full stop. And it was this realization which helped Julian face the darkest moments of her life, all the trauma, all the death, and all the guilt that came from surviving. When Julian gazed at the cross, the only thing she saw was God's love laid most bare. A love that was willing to do anything. A love that would sustain her even through death. The second vision that I want to share is what Julian saw, that she saw blood. blood gushing down Jesus' face from the crown of thorns. Today, we don't find much life in a bloody Jesus. We tend to think of the movie The Passion of Christ, or how Jesus' bloody sacrifice has been used to emotionally manipulate and scare us into behaving a certain way. And this was also true during Julian's day. But when Julian saw a bloody Jesus, she saw something radically different. She saw something beautiful, something that brought her happiness, something that made her feel safe. Here's my favorite quote from Julian about this vision. "The blessed wounds of our Savior are open and rejoice to heal us. The sweet, gracious hands of our mother are ready and carefully surround us. For in all that Jesus does, the work of a kind nurse who has nothing to do but to occupy herself with the salvation of her child, Jesus' task is to save us. And it is his glory to do so, and it is his wish that we know it. For he wants us to love him tenderly, to trust him humbly and strongly, and he showed us this in these gracious words, 'I hold you quite safely.'" When Julian sees Jesus' blood, what she sees is a mother. She sees a kind nurse. She sees people whose main responsibility is to tend to others, to care for the vulnerable. In other words, Julian sees the people who generally have to deal with blood. Because let's be honest, even today, fathers and doctors, they generally are the ones who do everything they can to get around the blood, to stop it. They aren't the ones who tend to be around to clean it up. And this was even more true in Julian's day. But when Julian sees the blood, this helps her realize that Jesus isn't like that. Because Jesus is a mother who will never abandon us, no matter how bad things get. And in Julian's day, blood was dangerous. During the Great Plague, when people died, they often vomited blood. And just like today, it was those who were physically most proximate to those that were dying, the nurses and the mothers. They're the ones who tended to get sick too. In Julian's day, blood was seen as anything but safe or beautiful or healing. Blood contaminated, it infected, it destroyed, or at least that's what people thought. But that's not what Julian sees when she sees Jesus' blood. Julian sees a mother or a kind nurse who cares for the most vulnerable and the most alone. Julian sees someone whose blood, whose antibodies are beautiful because they bring healing and life to those who are sick. She sees someone whose blood makes us safe. Julian saw a blood that ran down Jesus' body so profusely that she realized that it was enough to redeem everything, to bring healing to all. Isn't that a picture that we need today in this time more than ever? One final vision, one which builds on Julian's understanding of the cross and helps me understand what the resurrection might mean in a time like this, and that's laughter. Here's what Julian saw. "I saw the Lord scorn the devil's wickedness and set him to naught. And he wants us to do the same. At this revelation, I laughed heartily. And that made those who are around me laugh too. And their laughter, it pleased me. I wish that my fellow Christians had seen what I saw. And then they all would have laughed with me. I did not see Christ laughing. Nevertheless, it pleased him that we should laugh to cheer ourselves and rejoice in God because the fiend has been conquered." It may seem odd to think about laughing as faithfulness in a time like this, a time with so much death, a time when we can't see the loved ones we miss so dearly, when there's so much evil raging which causes so much misery and so much weeping. But what Julian received while incapacitated, with what might have been another occurrence of the great plague, is that to laugh is to defy. It is to resist. It is to find courage to not be consumed by the darkness that is all around us. Laughter is how Julian refused to flinch and believed that the fiend had won. I imagine Julian's laughter as resembling something like Nicki Minaj. It's a contagious, snorting, hand-clapping laugh. One that defiantly mocks the thought that evil can ever fully win. For Julian knows, as she puts it, that she has been given the strength to resist all the fiends of hell and all the other enemies. So instead of viewing the world around her as filled to the brim with misery, she was able to see and enjoy simple miracles of joy. Julian did not deny that there was evil all around her. She knew it better than we ever could. She just understood that laughter was the most faithful way for her to respond and to show her God of love. In other words, Julian saw that laughter is faithfulness because the cross and the resurrection showed her that the worst thing that could ever happen, it has already happened. God died. And even that was repaired, restored, redeemed. This means that no matter how troubled and how grieved and how tormented life seems, no matter how dark and broken things appear, no matter if death appears to be winning, the resurrection reminds us that we shall never be overcome. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. So this morning, let us laugh. Let us laugh not because things aren't bad. They are. Let us laugh not because evil isn't real. It is. Let us laugh not as a way to distract us from what might be the darkest period of life which many of us will ever have to experience. For this just might be that. No, let us laugh defiantly, audaciously, vulnerably, as a way of reminding ourselves that God's life and God's love are miraculous. They can't be overcome, they can't be defeated, because God's love cannot be kept down. Let us laugh, because nothing, not even death, can thwart God's life-giving purposes. And let us laugh because no matter what pain and trauma we might face, God will hold us safely in the pierced palm of God's love. Amen.